What is it, 482 or 472?
482.3. Amid the ransom.
The last paragraph. Yeah, because it doesn't
give. Paragraph.
Okay, it doesn't give. You know, I did the PDF on my site.
I
know I found it. I'm just saying. There's something wrong with my site. For it's taking too long to load PDFs for some reason. I don't know. It's really slow. But
that's a big one.
It's a big one. Yeah. Oh, that's right. This is a huge book.
It's a huge book. That's why.
Is this anybody's?
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Well, good evening, everybody. Can I'm out of town right now, so I'm in another location. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
All right, good. I just wanted to make sure that my connection was solid before I may have had to pass the mic over to somebody else. But praise the Lord, everything's working now. So we are picking up with where we left off from last week. If you have the book, it is page 482, paragraph 3. But if you have Arlac, it's on page 102, paragraph 3. And it, excuse me, and it begins by saying, amid the ransom throng are the apostles of Christ, the heroic Paul, and the ardent Peter, the loved and loving John, and their true-hearted brethren, and with them the vast host of martyrs. While outside the walls, with every vile and abominable thing, are those by whom they were persecuted, imprisoned, and slain. There is Nero, that monster of cruelty and vice, beholding the joy and exaltation of those whom he once tortured, and in whose extremest anguish he found satanic delight. His mother is there to witness the result of her own work. Wow. To see how the evil stamp of character transmitted to her son, the passions encouraged and developed by her influence and example have borne fruit in crimes that cause the world to shudder. Wow. You know, like mother, like son, it's, you know, especially the parents, they're going to have to see what they did. And, you know, and I would believe that the punishment is tenfold on, well, you know what I mean, tenfold. It's more increased on them because they're the reason why their child is lost.
That wasn't part of this.
Oh, you want me to continue?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, all right. All right, it says, there are papists, priests, and prelates who claim to be Christ's ambassadors, yet employed the rack, the dungeon, and the stake to control the consciousness of his people. There are the profound pontiffs who exalted themselves above God and presumed to change the law of the Most High. Those pretended fathers of the church have an account to render to God from which they would fain be excused. Too late, they are made to see that the Omniscient One is jealous of his law, and that he will in no wise clear the guilty. They learn now that Christ identifies his interest with that of his suffering people, and they feel the force of his own words. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The whole wicked world stand arraigned at the bar of God on the charge of high treason against the government of heaven. They have none to plead their cause. They are without excuse, and the sentence of eternal death is pronounced against them. And, you know, before I continue, I just wanted to make note of something. In America, back in the 18th century, and even in some extreme cases, it's still today, treason is punishable by death. It was punishable by death by then. In some cases, it's still punishable by death today. And so the fact that this is treason against heaven and the sentence is death, eternal death, it shows you how, you know, how the governments of the world, they regard treason, but how much more God regards it as a very offensive sin, so much so that he has to obliterate those who commit it out of existence. That's
still, administer, you know, the death penalty by firing squad. You know, because it's usually on. But last I checked, they were still using the firing squad, even though no one's been killed for high treason in decades, even though some of our presidents committed high treason. Mm-hmm. And like with Clinton, when he gave the Chinese micro technology, after he gave that, they could make ICBMs to reach our country.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing happened. So it's the end time, so. Wish you could talk to me. But it is graphic. Treason is the worst. That's why the Lord pronounces death, obviously.
Yeah, and like, I mean, and with the increased lawlessness in these day and ages, so it should be no surprise, especially for God's people who can see what the times that we live in mean. It should be no surprise that the powers that be are going to commit some of the most treasonous acts that have been known. It should be no surprise. But anyway, as we continue, it says it is now evident to all that the wages of sin is not noble independence and eternal life, but slavery, ruin, and death. Want me to stop?
Well, I mean, any of us that have known Satanists in their past, it's strange how they actually think they're going to rule in hell with Satan. You know, like that one singer said, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. They are so deceived. They don't realize that he's lying to them as well, and they worship him, but they don't realize that he's lying to them because he wants to kill them. They all think that he loves them. You know, think of guys like Aleister Crowley or Anton LaVey, quote-unquote important Satanists. Because Aleister Crowley, he wrote the Satanic Bible, and Anton LaVey more or less promoted it. These guys are, man, who knows if they ever repented, but you know. I mean, you kind of wonder with Anton LaVey, because his daughter said his last words on his deathbed were, "Oh, what have I done?" So I wonder. Makes you wonder. Well, I mean, we think of guys like Jeffrey Dahmer. He gave his life to Christ, and then, of course, somebody in prison killed him. So Anton LaVey might make it, too, for all we know.
Yeah,
he's just a tool of Satan like anybody else. You know? So just curious.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that we think won't be there are actually there, mm-hmm. and the same applies mm-hmm. to who we think will be there won't be there, and then
yep.
and then we look yeah. at ourselves and go, how did I get here?
Yeah.
It's call that three surprises in heaven.
The three surprises in heaven?
Yeah.
I've never heard that one. What is it?
Yeah.
One is where you, that's what Brother Anthony said, you expect people to be there,
aren't there.
And you expect people that will not be there, and they're there. And the third one is,
what are you doing here?
What are you doing there?
All right. That's the third. That's you. Never heard that one before.
I heard the first two, but the other one, but I didn't know those were the actual
the three surprises. And we all know the only man-made thing in heaven, you know, is the scars on our king's body.
Yeah.
And he's going to, it's going to be there for eternity.
Yeah.
That's how much he cares and loves him.
We're going to show that to him. Yeah, these are reasons.
Yeah. Think about that. A couple of trillion years from now, we look at that, and it just brings more of that love before our face, you know. What he did for us.
Yeah, we're going to learn about the redemption forever.
Yeah. It's just going to be an intense study.
Amen. Going back up before I continue reading, Stephen put 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, which says, "While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage." That reminds me of what they're talking about in America, like with the upcoming administration.
The upcoming what?
With the upcoming administration, how they're talking about freedom from America, freedom from the corruption in America.
Yeah. And all these things that Trump's going to do day one. I mean, look at all the things Biden's doing. He's passing all these bills, letting these people out of jail that did the most horrendous crimes.
Yeah.
And they're not even connected with it. It's just a matter of making things more difficult for us for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hateful they are. It's strange, but again, it's the end times.
Right. Oh, Hannah, I was saying that when I read the scripture that Stephen posted, it reminded me of how the upcoming administration, they're talking about freedom from the bondage and corruption that came from the Biden administration. And I'm like, well, it's really it's the pot calling the kettle black, because while there's this pretension of draining the swamp, as Trump likes to put it, and this boast of liberty coming back to our country, and putting God back into society, it's still littered with so much corruption. It's the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, it's like that Catholic priest that got on camera and literally stated that Trump is taking his Christianity very seriously.
And
they're just pumping him up like he's going to be the savior of all.
Is that your posted, the cardinal?
Yeah, the cardinal. Yeah, he said that, right? Was it? Yeah.
He's really serious in his Christian faith.
Yeah. Oh. And everybody believes it. They all think he's a Christian because they've all been, you know, brainwashed to think that the lesser of two evils is godly. Well, he's just as evil. Yeah. It's still evil. So, you know, they build a villain, make everybody hate the villain, like they do in Hollywood. That villain, obviously, was Biden, and he probably doesn't even realize what they've done because he's so, I feel for that guy. Not really. I mean, I pray for him because he's brainwashed. And then making all the American people think that Trump is going to save the day. I wouldn't even put it past him. You know, my favorite prophecy about the Antichrist, about the beast that was, is not yet is. There's people out there saying that Trump is the Messiah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's others saying that he's the beast.
And
I wonder if they're going to pull on that prophecy saying the beast that was is not yet is. He was president. Now he is not president. Rome did the same thing with their beast that is yet not. Because they twisted that prophecy to look at themselves, because Christ, you know, is in the mix of that prophecy about how he, you know, knocks them down, but because they try to make themselves look godly and twist their prophecy out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
as long as it takes the onus off Rome, that's all they want.
Of course, Rome's the good guy in the end of all this, because they're the moral hero that's coming to save the day.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then Brother Stephen also added Galatians 5:1, which says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Amen.
Amen.
And then, he's on it with the scriptures tonight. He also put Isaiah 14:17, which says, "That made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the houses, that opened not the house."
And speaking about Satan.
Oh, okay. So I'll just,
because I put that one in there because it's talking about how people think they're at liberty when they're with Satan, but in reality, Satan doesn't open the house of his prisoners. Jesus has to break those prison doors open and has to break the chains of bondage of sin, that we may be free of Satan's prison house.
Kind of see the prophetic whisper of the angel opening up the gates. The prison gates for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always a reason for everything he does. You know, it teaches one lesson, but then it shows another. He always does that. I mean, just look at nature, you know, with the, you know, the seasons changing, or the way mankind, when he's young, it's like summer, and when he's old, it's like winter, that kind of, or spring, really, for young. But yeah, it's just fun to watch in regards to, you know, the good stuff. The bad stuff is like, oh, please give us the faith, the wisdom, the strength. So, what page are we on? Because I kind of hit
484. No.
484. You hit the wrong button there. Okay.
Yeah.
That is the one.
It's not over there.
It continues on and says, the wicked see that they have forfeited by their life of rebellion.
Oh, it is now evident? I thought you meant...
Yeah.
The wicked see.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, you're good. You're good. It says, the wicked see what they have forfeited by their life of rebellion. The far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory was despised when offered them. But how desirable it now appears. All this, cries the lost soul, I might have had, but I chose to put these things far from me. Oh, strange infatuation. I have exchanged peace, happiness, and honor for wretchedness, infamy, and despair. All see that their exclusion from heaven is just. In their lives, they declared, we will not have this Jesus to reign over us.
You know, this gives me hope, like when I think about this in regards to the latter one, because I know a lot of people that are like this. They don't see what we see, and, you know, they're going to be the ones, if they don't change, they're going to be the ones that yell out, oh, strange infatuation, because they're going to finally realize that what we were trying to show them was truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I praise God for the latter one that we might be able to reach some of them before it's too late. But I got a feeling like with the ones we've already been trying to reach, someone else is going to have to come to them. So, you know, they're sick of hearing it from us, kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, maybe. I just wish there was a super track. You know, one that everybody has.
They will have another chance to hear it, but it depends if they're going to accept it or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. We can only do so much. We can only speak, and you can't put Christ in someone's heart. They have to accept him. Super track.
Right. And when you said that that somebody else is gonna, for those who have been trying to reach, someone else is gonna have to come along and share it with them because they're probably sick of hearing us. That actually confirmed my thought process that I had earlier today about something. And so, thank you.
Yeah, we've seen it happen so many times that they come up, like people that find Christ, and you say, well, why didn't you hear me? You don't say it, but in your mind you're going, well, I told you that years ago, but, you know, if they hear from someone else, it works better. So,
that way. Especially within our family circle, they don't want to listen to us anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the fulfillment that there is no prophet in your own.
Yeah,
right.
That Jesus had a hard time in Nazareth.
Yeah.
But he's Jesus. You know, that's so, but yeah, the same thing. Like, we're not calling ourselves prophets, but any of us go to our old neighborhoods and run into our old friends, and they'll just remember us from where they left off, like the things we did before. They don't want to hear it.
Sometimes they prefer to, you know, listen to the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Aside from the mom, dad, or brother.
Because I actually had it happen to me when I went to a Griffin's funeral. And I was already a Christian by then, and I ran into an old guy that I used to hang with. A young guy, but, you know, old friend. And he wouldn't believe it. He could not possibly fathom in his mind that I became Christian. He said, there's no way, you know. He just, it was so... But I pray for them. That's all I can do.
Yeah, that's all we can do. So, pray for them.
To see the change for some people, it doesn't matter to them, I guess. Power of Christ. I think there's some comments that need to be shared here.
Yeah. Let me go back. Okay, so Danny said, everyone will have one more chance, and that's the hope that I have. Amen. As long as they believe the truth, no matter who tells them. Amen and amen and amen.
Yeah.
And Sister Hannah put John 4:44, which says, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country.
Yeah.
There you go. That confirms it right there.
You know, his own brothers.
Yeah. His own brothers thought he was a nut job.
Yeah. He's got a couple of them to change their minds. Yeah. But, man. And he actually allowed them to speak in scripture. James and Judas. Or Jude. I'm sorry.
Judas.
Judas, he ain't no brother of Christ, that's for sure.
Right. Oh, man. And you know, the sad thing about Judas is that he could have had his name on one of the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. He could have, but money was more important to him.
He lose that chance.
Yeah. Well, Sister Barbara said, like our loved ones don't want to hear it from us. My hope is they listen to others. And yeah, that's exactly what my hope is, because I'm going through a situation right now where that's the case. And so I'm just like, that's why I said to you, Pastor Nick, that what you said a few minutes ago confirmed my thought process from earlier today. I'm like, you know what? I have to wash my hands of the situation. Not, you know what I mean? Wash my hands, meaning like I have to just let them go and just be like, Lord, may the people I'm trying to reach, may they just hear from somebody else. Cause I'm tried and I've talked to these people about certain things before, and they just, it's as if they understand it, but then they can't tell me why they understand it. And I'm just like, well, all right, well, you already know the truth. So I can't do nothing for you at that point. And plus I have to remember Titus 3:10. And I also have to remember that if I've done my duty, no blood lies on me, no matter what happens.
Amen. You know, your sins are forgiven. If you see what they're doing is wrong and you don't warn them, you know, then of course it's on you. But, yeah, we can only do what we can do.
Right. And, Danny said, because I felt that way before, the people I've told before about what's to come, they did not listen, but they will listen to someone else and they will get it then. Yeah, that's all we can hope and pray for. And then Sister Hannah put Mark 6:4, which says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Okay, yeah, so that just confirmed what John 4:44 is saying. And Sister Stephanie said, one plants the seed, another waters them, and God gives the increase. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:9.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yep.
Not 3:9, 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Sister Mindy said, I pray minister and angels convince our loved ones of the truth. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yep.
Yep. And you know what? May some of these people have an incident like Brother Danny did. Like, they see the angel and be like, yeah, no, this is like, this is nothing to play with. This is nothing to play with.
Yeah.
Brother Ellie put Signs of the Times, November 7th, 1900, paragraph 11, which says, God desires his servants to remember the instruction here given, that they may not be deceived in regard to what is coming upon the world. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. Without the Spirit of God, we are utterly helpless. Oh, you could say that again. Our strength lies in hiding in Jesus. God could do more in one moment to convict people that we can do than we can do in a life.
Oh, my.
I got that thing popping up on my computer screen once a week. I always got to remember that, because you keep crying sometimes and you ignore the Titus 3:10 thing. Because I remember the first time the Lord taught me about that was with Dave Luna, all day long just talking to him for weeks on end. So praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, thanks, Ellie, for that, because now I can remember the source. It says, therefore, let us hold fast to the arm of omnipotence. Let us lean upon Jesus. Thus, we shall grow strong to do his will. The Lord is our helper. He will not leave or forsake us. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, and Danny put, and funny Danny put this, because we were just talking about this earlier today in regards to the situation that I'm going through. The Lord moved on from King Saul when he was disobedient and told the prophet Samuel to anoint David as king. We got to do the same, because like when Samuel was crying for Saul, and the Lord didn't comforted Samuel, but he didn't sit stoop low and hug him and comfort him like it's okay. He says, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? I've rejected him. You got to move on.
Yeah. How long have you been mourning? Mourning. I never saw that.
And he showed me 1 Timothy 5:21. I had to go and do it, finish it. You know.
Right.
I just don't like bringing him up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was rough.
I'm sure it was, you know. Just you want to go out there and warn people in the world, like you want to be so blunt, but when it comes to your friends, family, those who you're so close to, it's so tough. Or even old associates, like in the church, like in ministry, it's so tough because it's like you built such a connection with them, and you never thought you'd have to find yourself approving them. Yeah, but no, was it Brother Matthew said we need to pray for our own households because our enemies may be of our own household. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And, I don't know if you guys can hear us, but right at the beginning of that thing with Greg, and I was holding out for weeks, you know, hoping he'd repent. I didn't want to go all the way and say, you know, we got to have a meeting. The 1 Timothy 5 thing, and the Lord showed me in verse 21, I think it was 20 or 21, that you can't hold on to somebody that close to you. I think it was 21, right? But you were saying, like, blessed duty is difficult duty sometimes or something like that. You got to do it sometimes, you know. You got to approach these people sometimes when, no matter how much you love them,
unpleasant duty.
It's unpleasant duty or something like that. So, oh yeah, 1 Timothy. Was it 5:21? 1 Timothy, or was it 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 5. Yeah. There it is. It's verse 21. Because we already approached him, what he was doing was wrong. We were trying to help him, but I wasn't going all the way with it, you know. And none of the brothers are, I don't know if they were having the same issue I was having. I would imagine so, but the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night one time and just, you know, I heard that I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And like what happened in the Philippines, that one guy was caught doing more or less the same thing. But they didn't cast him from the pulpit because of partiality. But I found that out many years later. We didn't even know about that guy. It didn't matter. So, because our God's not a respecter of persons, so we can't be either. If someone very close to us does something wrong, we have to do our unpleasant duty, you know. So, that heater on or something? That heater? That's not on, is it? Okay.
That's fine, yeah.
No, it's fine. I'm just wondering. Is it?
All right. Well, I'm ready to continue with everyone else's. Yes. Okay, it says, as if entranced, the wicked have looked upon the coronation of the Son of God. They see in his hands the tables of the divine law, the statutes which they have despised and transgressed. They witness the outburst of wonder, rapture, and adoration from the saved. And as the wave of melody sweeps over the multitudes without the city, all with one voice exclaim, marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And fallen prostrate, they worship the Prince of Life. Amen.
Amen.
Satan seems paralyzed as he beholds the glory and majesty of Christ. He who was once a covering cherub remembers whence he has fallen. A shining seraph, son of the morning, how changed, how degraded. From the council where he once was honored, he is forever excluded. He sees another now standing nearer to the Father, veil in his glory. He has seen the crown placed upon the head of Christ by an angel of lofty stature and majestic presence, and he knows that this office might have been
his. Mm-hmm. Gabriel. Yeah. Gabriel took his place.
Memory. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Mother of Stephen loved this.
Yeah. Oh, does he?
Stephen, did you want to say something? I guess not, because I don't hear them.
No. Sorry.
Alrighty. He continues and says, before I continue, Sister Mindy said, did Gabriel take Satan's place? From what I understand, I've heard that that's what happened, but I don't think there's anything definitive locked down in Scripture that says that.
Well, just by seeing how he does the things he does, you know, showing up to Zacharias and stuff. But I'm thinking Sister White said something about it, though, that Gabriel took his place. She did.
I don't know of anywhere that she said basically, but I just know I've never come across anything that she does say that Gabriel did take Satan's place, but it seems very likely, like you said, based on how Gabriel appears to Zacharias, how he's there to help Daniel interpret the visions he was having. So I'd like to hang my hat on that possibility.
Yeah, and wasn't Gabriel the one that talked to Mary?
Yeah. So. Sister Katie said, what is the difference between the cherub and a seraph?
Well, seraphim.
I don't know if I ever did a study on that. Cherubs and seraphs. Mm-hmm. Hey, Katie. She's ignoring me now. She's mad at me.
The difference between a cherub and a seraph,
Cherub. A cherub is an angel, and a seraph. I'm looking that up. Because I did a study, and it's just all I'm doing is finding Bible verses that declare a cherub to be an angel. But a seraph. S-E.
He has the six wings, right? The seraph.
Yeah.
Cherub. Isaiah 6.
Oh, the seraph.
Cherub and seraph.
The seraph. Seraphim. Yeah, I didn't do a study on the seraph. I only have one. I thought I did. I'll be confused.
You can look that up. That's nice to you. Since you're talking about angels.
We're all
more about it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good one. Sir Katie.
They are rich. I'm misspelling it, obviously. maybe it's A S A R E P H.
How do you spell that?
S E R A P H.
S E R A P H is that how she put it on this? R-A-P-H. I put that in. Comes up. But I would imagine that's just a shortening of it, so I'm going to put H-I-N. Yeah. That can come up either. Oh, I think it's seraphim.
Seraphim.
Like M or O. Seraphim. No, I don't think it's O. Look right.
Yeah, it's seraphim.
Yeah, when all in doubt, go to Google and spell it. It'll spell it for you, and I'll look it up. Yeah. S-E-R.
Yeah, right. Oh, Isaiah 16. Yeah. Seraphims. Isaiah 6:2.
It's what? Isaiah 6:2.
Yeah.
1-8, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's in 1-8. Who did? Genius of
Yeah.
So, Isaiah what?
Six.
verses 1 to 8, I think. Which I think it touches on it in verse 2, but.
Each one has 6 wings, 20.
Seraphim shall have 6 wings.
Yep.
Oh.
So. Holy, 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 and close to the devil. I don't think I ever did. I don't even think we covered the seraphim sanctuary study. I think I did in passing. Let me copy. Okay, it's S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. So if I go to the sanctuary page, I might find something on it. It doesn't have my website in memory. Different browser. Will you find whatever you like? I don't know who it is. I only have a phone. And a seraph has 6 wings and a cherub has 4. Okay. But yeah, the 6 wings, we got that in Isaiah 6. This prophecy. Prophecy study tools. And then you gotta go to sanctuary because that's just a big old prophecy. And doctrine. There's a prophetic and doctrinal hill. But I had it in here. Yeah.
We have something to do.
Wait, what's going on?
I'm looking for, on my site, I'm looking in the sanctuary study area. So, prophetic facts.
The cherubims are in the Mississippi.
It's coming up blank. Why is it doing this? Because it was happening in my cell phone earlier, too. I think Mandy was having a hard time with my cell phone, too.
The cherubims are the one in the mercy seat at both ends.
Those are angels, I would think, right? Or covering cherubs, which would have the 4 wings.
On the mercy seat. They're the one.
They're the under the mercy seat?
Over. End of,
over the mercy seat?
Both ends of the mercy seat.
On the orange.
They're on both ends of the mercy seat.
What am I putting in here? Well, my menu changed. Were you still looking? I thought it was in.
Yeah, you said save it for Q&A.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. No, I got it. I just, I'm going to look up seraphim. Left period. Seraphim. It's up one time, but it's not showing it. Yeah, so now it's saying 0. So I don't know. Maybe I misspelled it again.
Brother Dwayne says, please keep him in prayer. Pretty bad weather coming tonight.
Yeah, he's.
Tornadoes, 70 mile an hour wind.
70?
Wow.
It's smaller than that.
Possible to
Then it'll get a lot windier, yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep you in prayer, Brother Dwayne.
Yeah, I can't find it. My site's not set up for some reason. Maybe it's just because it's, I don't know how fast your Wi-Fi is or something. Maybe that's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's continue. Maybe I should, email myself and do a study on seraphim. The differences in why they are the way they are. So.
All right, then. Yeah, we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer, bro. Stay safe out there. okay, so it continues on page 485, paragraph 1. Speaking of Satan, it says, memory recalls the home of his innocence and purity, the peace and content that were his until he indulged in murmuring against God and envy of Christ. His accusations, his rebellion, his deceptions to gain the sympathy and support of the angels, his stubborn persistence in making no effort for self-recovery when God would have granted him forgiveness, all come vividly before him.
Dude, that's gotta be rough. Because he was awkward. Yeah.
He reviews his work among men and its result. The enmity of man toward his fellow man, the terrible destruction of life, the rise and fall of kingdoms, the overturning of thrones, the long succession of tumults, conflicts, and revolutions. He recalls his constant efforts to oppose the work of Christ and to sink man lower and lower. Yeah. He sees that his hellish plots have been powerless to destroy those who have put their trust in Jesus. Amen and amen. As Satan looks upon his kingdom, the fruit of his toil, he sees only failure and ruin. He has led the multitudes to believe that the city of God would be an easy prey. But he knows that this is false.
Yeah.
Again and again, in the progress of the great controversy, he has been defeated and compelled to yield. He knows too well the power and majesty of the eternal. But that is what you call a delusion right there. When you show back, when you know for a fact that you cannot win against God, especially where you were once in his presence, you were the anointed cherub. Now that is the epitome of delusion.
Yeah, I mean, he literally knows, that he can't win, and yet he does it anyway. That's, try to figure that kind of mindset out. Most people would talk their hands and surrender or give up or something. No, he keeps trying. It's just that it always reminds me, well, I don't know, that's some weird mythological tale about the scorpion on the back of a turtle going across the river. Or no, a dog or something. She can really sting up that big old shell. So, yeah, it's just his nature. That's just how he is in this.
Yeah.
6,000 years of crying in his own head.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a mystery. The origin of sin.
Yeah. And Brother Ellie put Isaiah 14:16, which says, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He's really going to be looked upon as, like, really? Like, this is the one? Mm-hmm. And I like how it says in Isaiah 14:16 that it says they'll look narrowly, like, I don't know how to comprehend. They look narrowly upon him. Like, how would I understand that? Like, they look upon him like, I don't know. I'm trying to, the best way
I can like
understand.
Zoom in on him.
They don't zoom in. Yeah, narrowly.
No.
It's like it's just like when we say, get thee hence, Satan. We don't sit there and say, and this is the reason why I want you out of here. They don't give him the time of the day. Like, they see him and they go, walk away kind of. They look at him narrowly. They just barely even give him a glance. Because he's not worthy. He's not worth the glance.
Yeah, kind of like unimpressed.
Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Well, human, yeah. Ransom.
And Sister Connie said Satan is a victim of his own pride. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So are a lot of people that follow him. They can't, you know, even when they're found out to be wrong and everything from false doctrine to fanaticism, they don't want to admit they're wrong because then they feel like they'll feel embarrassed.
Right.
So is burning in fire is better?
Pride, yeah.
Yeah, the pride thing.
Pride feels no need.
Yeah.
Like I'm where, like, you know, just because people come, like, okay, like, and I'll say for everyone in this church, since we all, you know, we study the Bible and we look at prophecy, just because people come to us, you know, with questions, expecting us to know the answer, which, I mean, we should, because we need to have we need to answer for the hope that is in us. But, you know, it's okay to say that I don't know. Like, we're all learning just as much as the uneducated one is learning. We're all learning just as much. And as a matter of fact, you know, someone may ask you a question and then you may give an answer, but then even in that answer, it may pose a question in your own mind. And it's like, huh, I'd have to look into this a little bit deeper. It's okay to say, I don't know.
That's why I used to say on the street, I'll get back to you, or I haven't studied that yet. I've never been asked that question before, you know? Yeah, it's just like the question I received about the angels. You know, I just never came across my mind. That's why I love topical study from the brethren, because you guys have questions I don't, and vice versa.
Right.
And it makes for more interesting Bible study. Because, I mean, we're going to have an eternity to really study, and we can hang on every word. But right now, I would love to go word by word from Genesis to Revelation and then put the regular definition, the doctrinal definition, and if there's a prophetic whisper, that definition.
Mm-hmm.
And then be able to start at Genesis 1-1 and end at Revelation 22, you know?
Right.
But we ain't got enough time. I'll just, you know.
That's why we need each other.
Yeah. Then, yeah.
Each other and like that.
I praise God for the forefathers that did all those studies on these books we're reading now.
Yeah.
Amen. That really helps us. And then you see how Satan tried to make it look like throw a monkey wrench in the works by editing the books or editing the Bibles. He did that too.
Yeah.
Boy, you're really going to be on your toes spiritually in this world. Oh, amen.
Yeah.
I wonder if one of these days if we did this like a podcast. Our studies like a podcast, you know.
That would be really neat.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go back up. And matter of fact, I think this would be a good place to stop because there's a couple comments I got to read.
All right. We'll stop at the aim of the great rebel.
Yeah, we can stop there.
Right.
Okay. 485.
485 paragraph, whatever, because this one. The PDF doesn't give you the paragraphs. It's just the last paragraph of 485.
We have two pages.
Yeah.
Huh?
Two pages.
We did two whole pages?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had that long pause. I never did a study on the seraphims. I do have something on cherubs, but I don't have anything on seraphims. And if I was a betting man, I'll lay those dollars to donuts and I'm going to get an email. What's the difference between the seraphims?
Yeah. That's a good question.
You know.
Yeah.
Or you'll get it. You know, one of us are going to get it.
Yeah, I have to, you know, when I get questioned, I have to ask the Lord. What,
oh, yeah. That's the only way.
Yeah, it's the only way.
Because
it's really hard to say in punto like that.
Yeah.
Unless it's really, you know.
That's why I like to keep notes because I can't remember everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although a lot of times it just come to memory. But if I've never studied it, how's he going to bring it to my remembrance?
Right.
John 14:26. I've never studied the seraphim.
Will the Holy Spirit remind you of what you never really
have? Yeah, I never studied it. I mean, I remember the word because it's in the Bible. He reminds me of that. But what it actually means and the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, seraphim, but, you know,
cherubim.
You have to dig more on that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know.
Yes.
You know, we'll get back to you kind of thing. Been doing that for 40 years. I did it a lot on the street, right? You know, in the early days. But that was exciting, though, the topic of studies. Did Anthony have something to read?
No, we're done.
Yeah, I know we're done, but did he have something to read from the
comments?
Comments? I know, we're done.
Oh, yeah, there's another comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some comments. Going back to when we were talking about Satan being the epitome of delusion, Danny said, mm-hmm. and people today love to be quote-unquote delusional. They openly say that being delusional helps to get what they want. It's wild. Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, because delusion, like, you know how they people will use these words to try to substitute, you know, God in the Bible. The word delusional is a substitute for the word faith.
Yeah.
Like,
today's world. I mean, just the last 4 years alone with that woke stuff, trying to get everybody, including Christians that just won't do it, trying to get everybody to agree to go along with the lie. Okay, you're a woman, but you want me to say you're a man or vice versa. I can't do that because then I'd be lying.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, you know, take part in your mental instability or your self-deception. If you want to believe that way, that's on you, you know.
And sharing.
Yeah, free speech. You got free thought. So, well, free speech, I don't know how much longer we're going to have that because we're already muted pretty bad, censored all over the place. But then I was just looking at that today, too, and I was looking for preachers, and I put a bunch of statements in a bunch of videos on YouTube today for Sabbath. I went to all these preachers that were talking about Israel.
Mm.
And I put a little tiny, you know, like a two-paragraph sermon, if you will, about who Israel really is today. And what they're saying on these pulpits is not Israel. And, you know, and just put that in there for, I think, about 20 videos. And I didn't watch the videos. I just waited to see them say, you know, you jump around and wait for them to say something about Israel and then, you know, put it on there. So, but what was I getting at there? But they're so confused out there. I mean, there's people that just need to hear the truth. And
yeah, but so many Americans are on psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's another thing.
That totally keeps you away from Christ. They're not even, or anything good. You know, yeah. They're in their own little worlds.
Yeah, they can't focus in any way, shape, or form. And that's like you were saying a minute ago, before doing a study like this, you got to pray and ask the Lord to help you focus.
Yeah.
Give you utterance and understanding and wisdom. And then, you know, I quite a few times I'll be in the middle of a study and all of a sudden I start drifting and I can't focus. And just pray again. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done it. Pray again. The enemy's hitting me here. Mm-hmm. And like today, where was I was going to share something with somebody. And right when I was getting ready to share it, the internet shut down. So I had to jump back. Oh no, that was with Jimmy. You know, the other, you know, Jimmy Kunatz. And, his internet shut down. And then we just lost the phone call right in the middle of it. So I had to call him back and he's using internet for like Wi-Fi calling or something. He just all was gone. And so I had to call him back and I said, I have to finish my thought because the enemy didn't want you to hear this. He's on fire. He's, please keep him in your prayers. We got to mail him a Bible, by the way. He sent me his address. He finally sent me his address. So I'm going to get him up. I'm going to get one with his name on it. You know?
Where's he at?
Where is he at?
He's in Illinois somewhere.
He's still in Illinois. He's stuck in Illinois for a year. As soon as he gets off that lease, he's coming to Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah, he's coming, yeah. I met this guy when he was 8.
All right.
Yeah, and he literally said the other day, like a week ago, he says, now I understand why we met.
Oh,
all the stuff he's gone through. Like, and remember, we all as a church family prayed for him about, what, 4 or 5 years ago when he had throat cancer? And the Lord just healed him.
Oh,
you know, with God.
Lord.
And then I used to get upset at him because, what do you mean you ain't got a Bible yet? I mean, I got upset. I says, you can't play me and you can't mock God. I mean, if you don't want to talk about Christ, don't act like you want to. And now he won't shut up about Christ. I know, he's on fire, you know, but he's in Woodstock, of all places.
Oh, wow.
That's the one with the, you know, the 1960s thing. But yeah, Woodstock, Illinois. That's Illinois. And so I got his address finally. Mm. And, but this is the new place because this other one, he watched on TV his own home burned down.
Oh.
He wasn't home and there was nothing he could do.
Yeah.
So he was on the road, on the street for, what was it, a month? Yeah. So are we going to finish by the readings or whatever, or are we done?
Yeah, we stopped.
I know, but
so
we're not going to do the comments.
Right.
There's a lot of comments to go through.
Yeah, but already pertaining to what we're talking about. Yeah, you know how we are.
Pretty much been reading them a lot, going along.
Yeah, I would think everybody's been reading them. But, oh, it's up to you guys. I know
I'm getting tired.
Yeah. 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 Mine says 48 comments. Yeah, I got hit down for that. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, too, there's a discussion going on right now about the cherub, and I'm like, yeah, that's someone
without the reading. Okay. So me or Albert are going to get the email, aren't we?
Yeah. That way we got angel, and we ended in angel.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, all this stuff about angels. Uh-huh. Since Brother Danny saw it, we found out what you saw. And then we found out what Marissa saw, and I remember what I saw on my birthday.
I don't know. Well, I didn't see the angel, but yeah. He was
supposed to. $20 bill.
Yeah.
Actually, a demon did one thing with a leaf, but I'll share it some other time. Because I was a Catholic at the time, and I think, oh boy, what happened next was scary. So.
Alright. Okay, so you're gonna pray?
Yeah, who's praying?
Yeah. Me. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna get a mic.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So if you are ready, you're gonna go in prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so much thankful for this gathering that we had. It's really full of blessing, Lord, spiritually. We are learning so much, Lord. We are growing in grace. And thank you so much for the discernment, the knowledge, the wisdom that you are providing to us. And even questions that we have received, and we have to study them, Lord. Through your grace, we will be able to understand them and be able to comprehend what to show you about all this topic that we have. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight, because we felt the joy, the peace in our heart as we read your words. Thank you also for the holy angels, the ministering angels that you are sending to each one of us, for you have promised, Lord, help in time of need. And tonight, as we end up this meeting and go to our corresponding work, may you be with us, Lord. And tonight, as we go sleep, we pray for your protection as well. And of course, we know that your holy angels will guard us. And for this coming week as well. Thank you so much for loving us. And thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayer. For we ask all these things with the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.